If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 636. I'm so happy that every time Ryan leaves, I get the palindrome episodes, so it makes me really happy. I am joined today by Destin Legarry. Hello, how are you?
Bam! Hey, doing well.
Yeah, and returning today, Taylor Lyles.
Thanks for having me, Stella.
Always so happy to have you on the panel. Yeah, so today also, okay, so I love when Ryan leaves because I get the palindrome episodes, but I hate when he leaves because it seems like I always get the slower news day. So we have a few stories that are kind of big, like this first one where Todd Howard told the Fallout TV show makers to hold back on things that are going to be in Fallout 5, which I think is the funniest headline ever. So for a little bit of context, Bethesda Game Studios boss Todd Howard asked the producers of the upcoming Fallout TV show to not use certain secret things because they plan to use them in Fallout 5. And speaking to Den of Geek, co-showrunner Graham Wagner joked, "I think we made Fallout 6. And the Westworld creator, Jonathan Nolan, who's also the executive producer on the Fallout project and director of the first three episodes, teased, "We know all about Fallout 5. We're not telling anyone." And Todd Howard said that he guided the Fallout TV show's creators to steer clear of anything that might have clashed with Fallout 5. And he said, "Well, there were some things where I said, don't do this because we're going to do that in Fallout 5. So I'm really curious what these things are. Also, I'm really jealous that the showrunners get to know what's going to be in Fallout 5 before all of us. And I don't know, Taylor, are you a big Fallout fan?
Yeah, no, I'm a big Fallout fan. I watched when the trailer dropped like almost a week ago, I watched it probably five times. I was trying to find like all the little Easter eggs and everything. I was just so giddy. I was like that Sydney Sweeney meme when she was on Hot Ones. Just watching, just like this.
I'm so excited. Yeah, Destin, how do you feel about, wait, okay, so how did you feel about the trailer and how do you feel about this news coming out that the showrunners know about Fallout 5?
I mean, the showrunners.
Oh, your friend. I can get, yeah, whoever wants to jump in. I called on Destin and then we can.
Yeah, no, Destin, yeah. go ahead.
The showrunner knowing about Fallout 5 is interesting. It means that maybe there's more out there about that game than we might realize. And I am a huge Fallout fan, so that's exciting. And I think this show looks awesome. They are hitting all of the right tones with the Fallout universe, the sort of like campy, sadistic nature of the whole series. And I've just loved everything that I've seen this far. I am definitely going to binge this when it drops on April 11th, I believe, right around my birthday. Yeah. And we keep getting so many good adaptations lately, like the Invincible series over on Amazon. We just got the just a lot of good series lately.
Yeah, Taylor, sorry. We kind of cut you off, but what were you going to say?
Oh, no. Sorry, I thought you were asking me first. I was like, I'm just really excited to just talk about Fallout the whole time. But I'm not going to lie. I was kind of surprised that at the end of the trailer, they were just like, oh, yeah, we're dropping all the episodes the same day. I'm like, huh? I mean, I'm going to binge it, but I was a little shocked. I thought they were going to do like the weekly format. It just seems so out of the ordinary for Prime Video original series. But hey, I'm not going to complain. I'm going to binge it all in one day. And it's also like, Destin, I didn't know your birthday was, is it in April? Because my birthday is also in 5th. April.
April 5th.
Oh. Mine's is on the 28th. So, okay. April babies. Yeah. But I agree with Destin. The trailer looked really good. I thought it captured kind of like that charm of Fallout, kind of like the grit, the cutthroatness, but also the charm and the, you know, the humor of it all. Like the Mr. Handy saying, oh, I'm just simply your arms, your organs. I was like, huh? He just said it so casually.
I am so interested in how this is going to work, especially with some of the creatures. I mean, I'm really curious. So, okay, the Fallout TV show is canon, and it's set after the Fallout games and 219 years after the Great War in the year 2296. So that's 9 years after the events of Fallout 4 and 19 years after Fallout 3. And it's set 14 years after the events of the Second Battle of Hoover Dam, the climax of Obsidian's Fallout New Vegas. So the TV show is going to be set in a post-apocalyptic Los Angeles, which is going to be, I don't know, I'm kind of over the whole LA thing being in TV shows like this. I want to see something like Chicago or Florida, because we've not seen Florida in the Fallout games. Also, imagine how that would be, like this just crazy mutated alligators. I don't know, man. I want something different. But how do you feel about the setting, Taylor, as a huge Fallout fan, with this going to Los Angeles?
No, it's okay. I did you really like New Vegas, Stella? Are you just on that vibe? Yeah. I mean, I kind of have to agree with you on that. I was a little kind of like, okay, with, you know, them setting it in LA. I mean, I know we'll get to see like the NCR, so that'll be fun because I really like that faction. But I agree. I wish that, you know, I'm kind of tired of like these post-apocalyptic shows kind of going to these big metropolitan high density cities. Like, I don't know, set like when Fallout 3 was set in the Capital Wasteland, that was refreshing. And I'm not just saying that mostly because I live in Maryland and but I'm saying that just in the sense of it's nice. I don't want to just keep seeing like your LAs, your New Yorks, or San Francisco's. I, you know, put it somewhere interesting. Put it like in Louisiana. Imagine radiated alligators in the bayou, and you're just like, that's great. Like, that would be awesome. But I am curious to see, because it makes me wonder if they said they basically created Fallout 6. It just makes me wonder what area Fallout 5 is going to take place. Like, are they going to go back to the West Coast? And if they go back to the West Coast, is it going to be in California? Is it going to be like the Bay Area? Will it be Southern California, or will it be like a neighboring state? Like, that's the thing that kind of piqued my interest, was that if they didn't want to show things that would be in Fallout 5, does that mean that they are shifting back to like the West Coast, since the last few games have kind of been East Coast?
Yeah, Fallout 4 was in Boston, which was really nice. I really liked that. And then the DLC also went into like the different bodies of water, and the Mirelurks really sucked. But, you know, it was really interesting to see that kind of change of pace. So this going back to Los Angeles, our news writer did suspect that we might see some New Vegas in this TV show. I don't know, Destin, what do you think the odds are of that?
I think that would be good. It's a really, really fun setting, and just seeing it all blown up is always nice. But yeah, in terms of just general setting, like you said, you don't like LA. I'm down with LA. Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to do Florida, you know, next year. So we're going to get our Florida setting, and everybody can mod that game when it comes out on PC to make it post-apocalyptic. But yeah, my whole take is that I kind of like that they're just doing the one setting versus jumping all over the place. If we do get like a flashback of that location, that's cool. But and they sort of tease that right in the intro, because the main antagonist of the story is shown in before he's a ghoul, is shown as a human. So maybe that's where we get New Vegas in there in some capacity. But yeah, I'm excited to see LA and see like what the Vault Dweller is like after coming out into the world. She very quickly seems to go from I'm a innocent vault dweller to I've murdered many things.
I think that's kind of how we turn out though, right? Like, yeah, you just kind of have to do what you need to do to survive. I really hope they go into depth on some of the vaults that had the different tests and everything, because I thought that was the most fascinating part of Fallout. So for me, that's kind of what they have to touch on to make the show really good. Obviously, the I don't think the visuals are going to suffer. I mean, everything looks great. The costuming looks really good. And they picked a really good setting for shoot locations. But yeah, Destin, for this show to be really good for you, what do they need to bring to the show?
I think they've already done it, honestly. Like, the costumes look awesome. They really nail ghouls. The tone is right. So just based on the trailer thus far, they are doing a really, really good job. So as long as it stays within the style of Fallout and what we've experienced at Fallout, I think they have a winner on their hands. I would be very surprised if it suddenly deviates drastically, but it doesn't seem like they're doing that. It seems like they're staying true to the heart of what Fallout is all about. And that has me more excited than ever for the show.
Yeah. What about you, Taylor? What do they have to touch on for this show to be good for you?
I mean, like you said, I feel like they really do need to kind of touch on, like, what was the, I guess, the catch or the stipulation for Vault Tech when they created these vaults, because that's just, the vaults are just a staple in Fallout. There's, like, if you don't have a vault in Fallout, like, is it even a Fallout game? So I'm very curious to see what the two that we've seen so far. I think it was Vault, I can't remember off the top of my head. I think one of them was Vault 4, and then the other one's just losing my train of thought. But, like, I want to learn kind of, like, what was the reason for those vaults? What was their purpose? Because each, you know, each Fallout vault has, like, its own, like, kind of, like, dark secret or purpose, or, hey, there was a reason why this vault was created to do this specific kind of, like, scientific study or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I really hope we get more lore deep dives. At least, I don't know. I really want to see more vaults that we have not seen yet. And I don't know. It looks like it's packed with action and story, so I'm really excited. Also, the fact that Todd Howard was there kind of guiding them through what story points they should hit, what they shouldn't use, that makes me excited. But also, it makes me really want Fallout 5 already. I mean, if we're getting Fallout 6, I mean, come on, we can't skip a title, right? Yeah, so I'm very excited for that. And it is canon. We have not heard anything about Fallout 5 yet, but the Fallout TV show will be coming out soon. So very excited for that. So moving on to our next topic, we have a lot of publisher sales for Xbox this week. So Square Enix has a publisher sale that's going to end soon. It lasts till March 18th, so you should definitely get on that as soon as possible. There are titles like Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, and others. And if you actually look at their page, they have, like, Chrono Cross, the Radical Dreamers Edition, Power Wash Simulator, and Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition as well. So there's a lot of different titles from Square Enix on sale, which is really cool. I think this is a great way for them to introduce, especially with Final Fantasy 14 coming over to Xbox. So I don't know, Destin, I know you really like Square Enix. So I wanted to see how you felt about this.
I mean, it's great. Get your games while you can, for sure. Final Fantasy 14 coming over is a big deal. And man, anytime they have a sale, it's just good news. It means you can get games for cheaper and just on the platform that you prefer.
Yeah, so just to look at the Xbox games so Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix, they're only $19, well, $20. Kingdom Hearts 3 is $23.99. Final Fantasy X and X2 HD Remaster is $20 as well. And I know people like Chrono Cross, the Radical Dreamers Edition is $10. So there's a lot that's on sale, and hopefully people get a lot out of this. Destin, what was that one game that I watched you play on stream a long time ago? It was another Final Fantasy MMO, I think.
Final Fantasy 14, probably.
No. It was an
Final
older
Fantasy
one.
11?
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe, Final Fantasy 11?
Yeah. Well, there's only two. There's 11 and 14, so...
they relate to everything. Just the process of elimination here.
The first MMO that I really played from Final Fantasy was 14, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is so much better than World of Warcraft. But I do remember seeing you play that, so I know that you're a big Square Enix fan.
Way, way back in the day, I went pretty hard on Final Fantasy 11. Like, when I had my PS2, I got, like, the hard drive and all that stuff to play it, and then myself and Greg Miller did a bunch of Final Fantasy 14 coverage when it came out. So I rem- I remember covering that and meeting a lot of people from that community. That game is great. And it is awesome that it's finally on Xbox, because that community is super excited to just sort of finally break down that last barrier and be able to welcome Xbox players with open arms.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. There's a lot of different Final Fantasy titles here too. So I think it's great, especially with the release of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, right? The second part. Yeah. So this comes at a really good time. So I did touch upon other partner spotlights as well. So we saw the partner spotlight live stream. Was it last week? Is it already last week now? Yeah. So the partner sales include a lot of different titles that players may have missed on. I just recently started playing through Red Dead Redemption 2, and the Ultimate Edition is on sale for Xbox for $30. And there's a lot of Ubisoft games, of course, as a partner. They have the Premium Skull and Bones Edition is already 33% off. So it goes from $100 to $67. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is $42. Assassin's Creed Mirage Deluxe Edition is $36. Cult of the Lamb Heretic Edition is $21, which if you have not played that game, please play it. I think it is so fun. I love it so much. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown Deluxe Edition is 40% off for $36. And they actually just posted an update today saying that there are three free updates. One story DLC is coming in the later months. So the first update arrives this month on the 20th. It has speedrun mode, permadeath mode, and new Sargon outfits. Then in the spring, shortly after, there will be a boss rush mode. And then in the summer, you get new combat, platform, and puzzle challenges, and the new story DLC later this year. Also, I thought it was really funny. Bully Scholarship Edition is available for $9.
When I saw that on the ROS, I couldn't help but laugh. I was like, how? Somebody else acknowledges Bully that isn't Taylor Lyles. That's great. Still mad that we're not getting a sequel because it got canceled like ages ago. And I will continue to be bitter about that.
So, I don't hate me, but I have not played Bully, but seeing that for only $9, I was like, I mean, it might be my time to check it out, right?
$9, go get it. I mean, right? Personally, yeah. Well, okay, so I've played Scholarship Edition. I played the original version on PlayStation like ages ago. I own multiple copies of both. I like Scholarship Edition, but I still tend to go back to the original one. I just feel like some of the, but for $9, the new content and the new classes and the like three optional that aren't really tied to the story missions. They're nice. They're nice addition. Like for $9, that's practically essentially just giving the game away. I do recommend you play the original version. I still think the original one is better because the Scholarship Edition just kind of feels, I don't know, the stuff that they added, it just felt a little out of place. The new classes were nice though. I hated math though. I hate math in real life. I hated math in this game. So, but yeah, anyways, Stella, I don't care which version you play. Go play Bully. Go play
okay,
Bully.
Okay, all right. Wait, okay, so what's the main difference between the original and the Scholarship Edition then? Just new classes?
Well, it's new classes. I believe it's like some new clothes. They also added some like new missions. I think 5 new missions, something like that. But they're not tied to the story. They're just kind of like optional missions that you can kind of complete kind of whatever, except I think 2, which are like themed around like set in the winter because they're like Christmas themed, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else is into it. But it's just mostly just new classes of like new or characters and the just like those optional missions. But okay, it's all right. And also like it was like a visual facelift because it came out on the 360 and then on the Wii it was just there. Oh, multiplayer, like you could play some mini games, like there's a couple
what?
Of those too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's, you could play those with a friend, but you know, it's no Mario Party or anything, so
yeah,
it's like it's just kind of there.
Oh, okay.
There's some really really awesome games in this sale, like you can get GTA 4 for like $7.
Also a great game.
Yeah, there's some classic in there. Like there's Mirage and Valhalla bundled for $40. That is a really good deal because both of those games are like highly regarded. And Valhalla is massive, so that's a really good deal. Like all the Yakuza games, like $5, everywhere from $1 to like $5. Yakuza 6 is 99 cents. So Yakuza 0, the one I started playing, is $4.99. And I only played that game for a few hours. But like any of the games in the Yakuza series are really, really good games. And to be able to get them for under $5 is a steal. This is a really good sale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the BioShock games too. Oh man, I love those. Yeah. I was actually planning on replaying through BioShock Infinite because BioShock Infinite was the first game that I actually played over and over, and I wanted to kind of master a speed run on.
Yeah.
But never got back to that. But yeah. So you were mentioning Grand Theft Auto. They actually have Grand Theft Auto 5. They have several premium edition and Great White Shark card bundles, or the Megalodon Shark bundle and the Whale Shark card bundle. And those go from like $20 to $36, which is really great. So there are a lot of games in this. Oh, also, if you like Far Cry 4, which I really liked, it's only $6.
Which is wild.
Yeah,
they also have the original Red Dead for like pretty cheap. And because of backwards compatibility, that game has a ton of enhancements that make it look freaking great on an Xbox Series X. So if you've been looking for that one, that's another one I would definitely recommend for the price point it's at currently. Red Dead Redemption is, well, it's $23.99. I recommend buying the disc because you can get it on Amazon new, like in the box. But still, that's pretty good. If you just want to buy digital, you can get it for $23 right now. And Manhunt, good throwback to another great, very violent, but great Rockstar game.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that right now. What was that?
It was like you were forced into a place where you had to murder people or something, and you had to do it in like creative ways. It was very violent and controversial at the time.
Huh.
But it's sort of like, I would dare I say, a historical piece from Rockstar, because there was a lot of controversy surrounding it, but it actually did some stuff that was kind of interesting. Granted, if you're not a fan of gore, then maybe pass on that one.
Yeah, and also the sound, like, it's just, I mean, because you were like, think a death row inmate or something, and somebody kidnapped you, and then you were forced to participate in a bunch of snuff films, and I remember when I was probably too young to be playing it, but I just remember hearing the sounds of when you were doing the thing where you're unaliving. It just, look, if there's one thing that someone could say nice about Manhunt is that, as grotesque as it was, the sound design was just alarmingly good. I'll leave it at that. And also, I saw very that squishy. Rockstar. I also saw Rockstar Table Tennis was on sale, and I just know I just think that's funny. And there was another game I just saw, and I'm like, Mafia 3. I think was the definitive edition. Honestly, if you haven't played Mafia 3, you absolutely should. I think it's a very underrated game. I thought it was great. I like that it is an open world game that isn't in like a, you know, again, I'm going back to that whole like, oh, it's in the same, they're hosting them in the same cities kind of thing. It's not in your New York, it's not in LA. It's in civil rights era, kind of like that Jim Crow, but it's kind of like 60s deep South, and you're in this open world and you're doing very GTA-esque type things. Like it's so good. There's not another game right now in the market quite like it. It can be a little repetitive at times, but I think ultimately I really enjoyed the story. I liked the gameplay. Go play Mafia 3 if you haven't, especially since it's on sale on on the Xbox. Like, go play it, Xbox guys. Go play it,
yeah.
Please.
Oh man, I wish Ryan was here. Yeah, Ghost Recon, Breakpoint Deluxe Edition, Wildlands Ultimate Edition are also on sale for like $14 and $24. Also, The Division 2. Warlords of New York Ultimate Edition, and just The Division 2 if you want it for like $9. Destin, have you played The Division 2 in a while?
I played a lot of Division 2. Yeah, I played through the first few seasons and like have a maxed out character and tons of the exotics. That game's pretty dang good. Warlords of New York is a really, really positive enhancement to The Division franchise. So if you haven't played it and you're looking for one of those grindy Destiny type games to sort of wet your palate, that is a good one. Ryan would be talking about the Max Payne games that are like $5, though.
Yeah, I was going to point on
that Burger Farm one. Did anybody see that on the screen? That
no.
Was it Happily's Burger Farm? I was like, what is this game? I was like, oh. It gave me Barnyard, like that CGI show or movie Barnyard. I saw the cow and I was like, is this a Barnyard thing? No, it's a burger. Yeah, Happy's Humble Burger Farm.
I wonder if you can pair this with your discount on for having Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, because these are already discounted. I wonder if you get a little bit more, because I saw Kill It With Fire, and I know that was one of the achievement challenges back in the day or rewards, which rewards have been revamped and rewards cost more, but it's still a kind of a cool system.
I made the great mistake of looking at Happy's Humble Burger Farm. I'm sitting here thinking like it's a goofy kind of kid-friendly game. No, it is not. It's a horror game.
What? Okay.
I was like, huh? I'm looking at the Steam page. I was like, looking at the screenshots from the Steam list. I was like, so, huh?
Yeah. Oh, Monkey Island, Return to Monkey Island is only $15. I know that Ryan would also be very happy about that. So yeah, lots of great sales for a ton of video games for the Partner Spotlight sale. So go ahead and look at anything there that you want to buy. Again, the Square Enix publisher sale does end on the 18th. So whatever you want to get, go snap it up right now. So going back to recent Xbox games. So this will make Destin very happy. Forza Motorsport has some updates coming. So there's going to be a new feature tour, the Combustion Tour, with additional spotlight cars and car pass deliveries each week, as well as a fresh schedule of multiplayer and rivals events. So the update, this is update number 6, and this is going to roll out for download on 10 a.m. PT on Xbox Series X and S and PC. It's going to start, the new featured multiplayer and rivals events start Wednesday, March 13th, so that's today. So I know what Destin's doing after work. And with the changes coming to car progression in Forza Motorsport Update 6, you will have the freedom to equip the parts you want to install on your car, regardless of car level. The first change is to remove the level restriction on performance parts, making them all available at car level 1. This allows players to install parts in any order they wish, regardless of car level. Whether it's engine swaps, race tires, or body kits, you will have the freedom to build cars your way. This update also introduces new fixes and experience improvements, including additional lighting options for the livery editor. Is that right? Livery?
It's livery.
Livery, okay. Livery editor to help players see how their designs look in different conditions. This update also includes 8 new music tracks to the game composed by Kaveh Cohen and Michael Nielsen and Peter Holstrom. And these will be played while you're in the home space. So we're going to Taylor for tech, but also Destin, I know you're a huge fan of motorsport, so... Do these changes mean a lot to
they
you?
Are,
terms
they
of-
are big. They are big changes, and they honestly should have been there from the beginning. A big complaint about motorsport was that you could not upgrade your car or tune your car, so you had to drive it repeatedly around a track to level it up so that you could unlock enhancement parts. So getting rid of that requirement is going to open up a lot of opportunities for people to tune their cars and mess with their cars that I am pretty excited about. Their whole philosophy was sort of flawed from the get-go, where they're like, well, we want you to drive a car and learn how to use that car and fall in love with it. But the problem is, if you got another iteration of that same vehicle, you had to do it all again, but you know that vehicle. And if you're a longtime Forza fan, why would you need to learn how to drive a car again? So from a concept standpoint, it was problematic. And then you could just jump into the multiplayer mode, and they just gave you supercars anyway. So the whole premise of what they were trying to do there was just sort of flawed from the get-go. And this is coming from somebody that really had a blast playing Forza Motorsport. I was definitely one of the more positive people in terms of how I felt about that game. But I got a bone to pick with you, Turn 10. Can we go full screen on me for just a second? I want my credits back. Yes, I did the burnout glitch and I had a bunch of money and you took all my credits away. You never do that. If there's a glitch in your game and I spend a day farming credits using that glitch, that's on you. Never punish the player. Bungie does this all too well, right? They never punish the player for a mistake in their game that allows them to acquire wealth or cool weapons. So that's my piece of feedback for Turn 10. If you make a mistake and I buy the super expensive cars because of that mistake, I don't know that punishing the player for that is the best move. But yeah, all my credits were resets and I'm salty about it.
Okay. I did not know that was an issue.
Yeah, I don't know how the community feels about it. The argument is going to be, of course, that it breaks balance if the people who are able to farm the credits, but it's just like, I mean, credits aren't hard to get. The game is a ton of fun. I think they did a good job with the simulation aspects. I have a whole video where I compared this to how GT7 handled the simulation aspects using the Fanatec wheel. And I went really hard on Forza and GT there for a while. So
this week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, If you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff, like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlocked. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I forget, did you ever get the actual driving setup? Like the
whole...
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Okay, so have you done... So I just see that they posted 3 hours ago, so maybe, I don't know if you've done this or not, and they posted on Twitter saying, make sure to complete the feature tour and career mode to unlock the 2022 Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 RS. Do you have that one?
I don't know if I have that one, but they have these challenges. I think they're every... You get like a few weeks to do all of the missions to unlock the vehicle, and you get pretty good vehicles for doing those. That's sort of their way to get you to sign on and work through the missions that they've outlined in order to unlock a thing. This is just the latest vehicle that they're adding. So no, I have not done it yet. It would probably take some time to do that. I need to get my... I finally put my sim wheel back in the garage, and it's a bit of a process to like drag it back out, make sure the kids aren't playing with it. But I got my steering wheel still up here. Like,
oh.
Yeah, no joke. Like, when I said I went hard, like,
oh my God.
Yeah. I was like, hey, Fanatec, I'm doing this thing. And they're like, we'll set you up. And so they sent over IGN these steering wheels and stuff so that I could do the feature. And yeah, and I use these for Gran Turismo also. And yeah. See, now the thing about this update is I want to play again. And I was already like, man, I see that steering wheel every time I pull the car in the garage. And I'm like, should I bring it back in? Can I do like one more lap? It's once you get the sim racing bug. I don't know. Taylor, are you big into sim racing?
Not anymore, but I will concur with you. Like,
yeah,
especially when you have like a really good racing wheel, and Fanatec does make shout out Fanatec. They make really good just racing wheel. But like, if you are die hard into these types of games and you just fully invest yourself, it's well worth spending like the money to kind of get that. Yeah, it's just so much easier than just using a controller. And not to say that you can't play these on a controller. It's just such an enhanced experience.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for sim racing, you kind of, you want to be fully immersed, right? Like it's supposed to be a simulator. You want to be fully, fully enveloped in it.
It's like Microsoft Simulator Fight Simulator. Like, are you going to use a mouse and a keyboard, or are you going to use, you know, like one of these, you know, Xbox controllers, or would you rather use like a flight stick? I think you'd probably, I mean, if the choice was there, if everybody had that choice, I'd be very curious to see, like, okay, how many of them would a majority of them actually pick the, you know, like the flight stick, or just like a HOTUS setup? I would like to think they would. I mean, you know, live your best pilot experience. Like, I could pretend like I'm a pilot for, I don't know, Southwest or something.
Yeah, just don't fly the Boeing, because I know that they've been having a lot of issues recently.
I feel like I set myself up for this. I should have known you were going to bring this up.
Yeah. So, Dustin, I don't play, like, I mean, the first racing game that I got into was Forza Horizon, the last one. So this is completely different. I see that there's a number of cylinders restriction for multiplayer. What does that mean? And what does that entail for you if you're going to play some multiplayer matches?
Wait, I'm sorry. What kind of restrictions?
Cylinders restriction?
Like a 4-cylinder versus 6-cylinder, probably.
I think so. Yeah, like, yeah. So,
like, yeah, so you can't bring a V6 and against a bunch of 4-bangers. Like, yeah, you would just smoke them, right? So it's probably about the restriction to the engine types. Like, you can't bring a 4-cylinder engine into a V6 engine or a V8 engine type. So, yeah, it's just about saying, okay, you can tune your car however you want, but your engine has to be a 4-cylinder. And those are sort of like fun challenges where you got to figure out other ways to tune your car just right so that you can get the best lap time.
I think it just also adds to just the immersion, because, you know, it's pretty practical in real life where there's just certain things you can't do when you're customizing cars and trucks and all that. So it really adds to just the realism of it all.
Yeah, like the F1, one of the first multiplayer things they did in Forza Motorsport was they had like F1 races. God, that was fun. And they didn't bring it back for a few weeks because they did cars that I could not get control over. They were like too powerful. But that one was like really perfect because they're super grippy, and it's all about, like, you know, figuring out your trail braking and all those, you know, advanced things, and just learning how to really shave those seconds off. And it was a lot of fun. But yeah, racing with those types of vehicles in real life has so many restrictions. Like, they have to have a wood plate on the bottom so the wood plate can be inspected after a race to make sure, like, nothing tricky is going on there. There's probably more reason than that for it, but yeah, sim racing is a lot of fun.
Yeah, they actually added quite a few new cars too, I think. And then, yeah, reward cars for the combustion tour and open class tour. So, yeah, you've got a lot of content to dive back into, Dustin. I'm excited for you.
You're making me get the itch again. It's good. Just like, I got to bust out that racing wheel.
Yeah,
we already took the wheel off the wall. So, I mean, I think you're already one step there.
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
Yeah. Got to get VR support on PC for intent. Yeah. So other requests, give me back my credits that I glitched the game to get, and VR support. That's it. Seems super easy.
I feel
easy,
like,
right?
Nobody's modded that in Forza already.
They probably have, but Gran Turismo 7 has it, and it's really cool. So, like, I would love it if Forza had native support for something like that.
Well, with PSVR 2 getting PC, like, VR support, I would hope that they would, you know, port GT7 on there soon.
Well, the NVIDIA leak had GT7 and Demon's Souls, or which one was the one they remade at PS5's launch? Was it Demon's Souls? Yeah. So Demon's Souls is on that list, and GT7's on that list. So maybe we get GT7 on PC. But yeah, and that's not like throwing shade at Turn 10 or anything like that. Both of them did different things with how they decided to present the sim racing aspects. But yeah, I mean, if you want to go really hard, you go with like one of the big ones, like Assetto Corsica or something, which just added, I think they just added the 24-hour Nürburgring. So, yeah.
I mean, I know they don't have to add the
iRacing's the other one.
Well, yeah, it's like you said, like, Turn 10 doesn't have to put like a VR mode in Forza to make these games good. Like, it speaks for itself, the quality, but it's one of those things where it's like, if you want to take the next step and adding really more into the immersion of feeling like you are a racer competing in Forza Motorsport, it would make, like, the next logical step, in my opinion, would be to add a PC VR mode. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't know how that would look. I don't know if they have the right bandwidth or resources to even do that. But if they did that, I mean, it'd be cool. But I'm going to go look for a mod. I feel like somebody's modded this by now. I feel like, I don't know.
Probably. I could Google it. Yeah. But you're probably right.
I was, okay. So I was actually going to ask Taylor, because you, I mean, we're obviously talking about different setups and stuff. What is, have you built like an article on like the best setup for sim racing games? And if not,
IGN has. I don't know if
IGN has. I did not specifically do it, but yes, okay. There's a buying guide for that. We also did like a, I remember we also did a video for Budget to Best.
Where Seth Macy did a great Budget to Best. I think the entry level was like a Moza that's like $99. Then there's the Logitech, which entry- is, yeah, there's a Logitech.
It's not cheap, Stella. This is an investment.
Yeah, no, like if you're going to get it and you're a starter, you could start with the Logitech, but really... you're going to upgrade to the Forza wheel pretty soon. Yeah, this is the Budget to Best. And that's, I think that on Xbox, it's the G923. And on PlayStation, it's the G29 or something like that. But that wheel has been it's been upgraded since, but it's been utilized since like the 360 era, I want to say. So, or maybe... no, it would have been Xbox One, PS4 era. So it's been around for a long time, and it's sort of been the standard from Logitech. And then Forza collaborated with GT7, and they have a version of the, I want to say DD Pro, but they reference it in this video, which is really solid. And if you buy the steering wheel for Forza, that wheel works on Xbox, and it works on, that's the one I use. It works on Xbox and it works with PlayStation, but really it's just like a modified version of the DD Pro, I want to say, sim racing set. I would have to reference my notes from when I did the performance analysis, but that is probably the most cost-effective entry into the super expensive sim racing, but you have to buy something to mount it to. You can't don't mount it to your desk. That thing is very powerful. You need like a proper setup. You can get them on Amazon for like $100, I want to say. But just to like get into this, you're looking at an investment of like $500, I think, if I like conservatively. And then if you start buying the different things that you need, like the brake pad that has like more force to it, then you know that's another $100. You get another steering wheel, that's another $200-$300. Like it gets pricey real fast. And if you're playing iRacing, you're basically like that's where all your paycheck's going at this point.
But again, like this is like a good investment if you are really into racing games.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, I feel like it's still a tough pill. Yeah, if that's your thing, but it is definitely a tough pill to swallow for like a casual fan. So I feel like with even the $100, like kind of like the one we put for the entry level product for Budget to Best, it's still kind of like a tough pill to swallow for some. But I feel like, you know, when you start getting into these more expensive ones, like the things that Fanatec makes and beyond, it's like you really have to like these like racing sim games. And I don't buy it just for this one game. Like you would got to get a lot of mileage out of it.
If you're still playing Forza now and you're playing on like a Logitech or something, but you haven't stopped playing, that's the type of person when I'd be like, you should consider a direct drive, right? Because at that point, you have spent so much time playing this game. Maybe you're on a Logitech, which is a belt drive versus a direct drive. That's the type of person I'd be like, have you ever considered a Fanatec? And I bet you like money that those people are like, yeah, but it's super expensive because that's like the ultimate step.
I was going to make a joke about how you save money by just subscribing to Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah. With all the money you save with Xbox Ultimate.
That's funny.
But then I'm also thinking, I was like, if all they're playing is racing games, then they probably don't have Game Pass subscription. They probably already just bought Forza. So I was like, darn, I can't, there's no way I could have really properly made that joke, but I made it somewhat anyways.
It works. I'm so glad that y'all went off on a tangent on it, because I don't know anything about this. It's so funny because Super Producer Red is showing all the footage of the Budget to Best, but also I did see him shoot this in the other studio. So I saw him trying out some of these setups, and they are really cool, but they look really tough to use. So I'm good with my controller, but I'm glad that there are options for other racing enthusiasts, especially with the Forza Motorsport update coming out. Speaking of another game update. So Taylor, you actually reported on this. So I'm really glad to have you on for this. So System Shock Remake is finally coming to Xbox and PlayStation May 21st. So the remake was released on PC last year, May 30th. So almost a year ago. And Night Dive Studios developed this remake back in, they started it in 2015, and they launched a Kickstarter campaign for it in 2016 and raised over $1.3 billion in funds. They did have to delay the release a few times, but one of them was to switch from Unity to Unreal Engine 4. But our reviewer did give it a 9 out of 10 last year, saying it sticks true to the original game and that it returns a classic immersive shooter to its place on top of the heap, updated for anyone to enjoy. There's no pricing yet, but the PC version does cost about $40, so I'm assuming it'll be somewhat around that. I'm not sure. Destin, you're a little bit better on guessing pricing. Do you think it's going to be the same price or a little bit higher?
Low.
Actually, I think I did see the price go up, but yeah, let's leave this unofficial unlock trivia this week. Y'all take a guess how much. I know how much the price is, but yeah. This is the unofficial trivia question of the week. So would you say?
Oh, you know the price. Okay.
I know the price, but I'm curious to know what y'all think the price might be.
Lower. That's my best guess.
Okay, fine. I'll go higher then.
Take the over, take the under. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some betting. 1 cent.
1 cent.
Yeah, price. Are we doing prices right?
Yeah, we're doing price.
Closest without going over. All right.
So I saw that it was, the Amazon listings went up. So of course, I don't know, maybe the digital, okay. I don't know. These days, physical and digital are same price. It don't matter where you buy it now. I miss those days. Don't y'all miss those days? But anyways, pre-orders went up on Amazon. It is $49.99 on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. They haven't posted the Xbox One or the, that is for the Xbox One too. So what am I talking about? But they haven't, I believe it's also coming to PS4. They haven't posted up the listing for it. If they haven't, I haven't found it, but that's the price as of right now. It's $50.
Wow. Okay. So it's actually higher. Interesting. I would have expected it to be the same, but it being a little bit higher kind of also matches my expectations just because we've been seeing games on consoles be a little bit more expensive. But yeah, I have not played this game, but I looked into it after seeing our news post, and it looks like something that I should totally play because it looks really fun. Destin, have you played System Shock?
No.
Really? I feel like this is also your kind of game.
No, I probably should, but I haven't yet.
Okay.
Sure. You should.
Yeah, it looks really good. It looks very sci-fi.
Cyberpunky,
which is perfectly up my alley. It looks really snappy. Taylor, have you had a chance to play the remake on Steam or the old version?
I played the old version. Yeah, I played the original. I played the remake. Played a little bit of it. I gotta go back and finish it. Okay. But yeah, it's as beautiful as we're seeing just in the video. It's a masterpiece. It's worthy of the 9 out of 10. And I'm just glad it finally came out because it was kind of like a small kind of like running gag, like, oh, is it ever going to come out? And it's been delayed. It was delayed so many times, but I'm glad it was finally out last year. And I was a little shocked the console versions didn't come out at the same time. But then I remember they had said something like, I think a month after the PC release date came out, where they were just saying like, they just had to make sure it was optimized better for consoles. And I think that's very, you know, I think that's commendable. I think that's something that, hats off to them, because you know we're at an age now where, you know, if your game's a little rough at release, the people will get very angry. And you know, it's like if you have the opportunity to give it a little more time in the oven to cook, let it cook. But there's still like two more ports that need to be released for System Shock Remake, the Linux and the Mac OS. And I'm curious to know how that's going to be. I'm also wondering. I wouldn't be. I don't know. I'm just curious. I was like, Mac OS. Like, is it gonna run on all Mac OS? Like, certain Mac. Like, just all of them, or is it just gonna be one of those things? Where it's like, oh, it's just gonna run on M1 or newer chip, like MacBooks. I don't know. Now I'm just curious to. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, but I could also just see it being one of those things where it's like, oh, you just need to have the newest, you know, Mac OS update. But even then, those usually tend to lean towards the newer MacBooks. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
It's an older game, though, so I think they could squish it down.
They could. I mean, there's also there was also like a toolkit that was released last year around WWDC that just makes it easier for Windows games to get ported onto to Mac. Mm. So, but yeah, there's a lot of options, but still waiting on those release dates. So I was like, we're almost done on this cycle of releasing System Shock Remake.
So actually, I'm really interested to hear your opinions on this. So I do have a friend who works, you know, at an Apple store and is talking about, oh, MacBooks are actually getting a lot better, especially Mac PC or Mac desktops, you know, with gaming. So how do you feel about the gaming space for Mac? Do you feel like it's getting to PC, like Windows, or no?
You know, I was like, I don't know any friends who work at Apple Store, but I do cover Apple. I follow Apple closely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd say the improvement is like glacial. I'm not just talking about Mac. I'm also going to talk about Apple devices in general, because we have Vision Pro, which is kind of,
this is the future. Let's be honest.
I was getting to it. And so I feel that with, you know, I feel like Apple over the last, I'd say like 3 or 4 years, I would say even when the M1 chip came out, like that started kind of like showing like, oh, these, they're actually kind of getting more better and more competent for gaming. And so last year when they kind of made that push, you know, with WWDC having that toolkit there, or it might have been the year before, it happened recently, I'm pretty sure it was last year. And then the 15 Pro with the chip for that, and how some of those games are exclusive to just like iPhone 15 Pro or Apple M devices. I think the support is getting there. It's still a little rough around the edges, but I think they are doing a very, you know, I think they're doing a good job at trying to like make those tools easier and more accessible, especially since, you know, Linux is now kind of back in the dialogue with the Steam Deck of being like a good kind of gaming OS. Again, if you have a Steam, you know, Steam Deck. But I don't think it's still there, and I don't think it's going to give Windows a run for its money anytime soon, but I do think it's getting better.
Okay. Yeah. So I had to look this up because I wasn't sure. So Xbox Game Pass works on MacBook, but it's for streaming. Do you think we'll ever get to a place where PC Game Pass might extend to MacBooks and Mac desktops?
Oh, you mean like a native app, not just like a browser?
Where you don't have to stream it.
That'd be so weird to see, but I mean, I can't even fathom that. I mean, I feel like there would be so many conversations that I think Apple and Microsoft itself, not just Xbox, Microsoft has to have before. But I don't think Apple should really focus on getting that type of product on Mac OS. I think they really need to focus more just on providing native experiences for these games.
Yeah.
And even if they're not expanding to all those Apple devices, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, they have switched over to their own silicon. They have for the last several years. I think just making them a little bit better optimized for those experiences it should be their center focus. And now that they are diving into that console quality experience with the Pro variants of the iPhone 15, I feel like they're doing so many other things right now that it's like, I don't think they need to have like a native PC Game Pass app.
Okay, that's fair. I just want more people to enjoy what is on Game Pass, right? Especially since some people do just have a MacBook and, you know, they play on that because they're just like, well, that's what I have.
They don't want to stream on the cloud. I get it.
I know. I don't either. I don't think streaming is quite there yet, but hopefully we get there eventually. Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for joining me for Podcast Unlocked episode 636. So real quick, I want to go around and start with Taylor. What are you working on? Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so I am currently working on a piece that's focusing on I don't want to give too much away, but I'm working on a tech-centric piece on a particular mobile gaming accessory. You probably already know what it is if you follow that space pretty well. It's pretty big with Xbox Cloud Gaming peeps. If you know, you know. But I'm working on that, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tay Nixter, and I'm also on Blue Sky if you have that. I don't know, it's open to the public now, and also that on just every other social media app pretty much, but that's where you find me.
Cool. Justin?
Yeah, you and I are working on some Call of Duty stuff. We just put up the Call of Duty Warzone mobile gameplay. There were some issues with encoding, but it's up now. And I had a 20-0 round against some bots. So if you want to see how Call of Duty Warzone Mobile looks, you can go check it out. I wrecked those incredibly brain dead bots, so you'll enjoy it.
Were you using the thing? Using the accessory?
I did not use the backbone. I used an Xbox.
Oh man, you gave it away.
I used an Xbox controller, and it was glorious.
I did use the backbone. It was actually really nice. I do not like backbone. Like, I don't like the wide controller. Same with like the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it actually worked really well for this one. Probably because it was lighter and smaller. But yeah, I actually did not mind it. So
Stella recommended The Backbone to me. That's why I ended up going with that one back in the day.
Okay.
Justin,
wait, I meant Taylor.
YouTube videos and like you didn't do any social media call outs.
Oh yeah, at Destin Legary on Twitter, I guess, and YouTube.com/TheDestinChannel if you want to check out my personal stuff.
Yeah. And I am Stella Chung subbing in for Ryan McCaffrey today. You can find me at Parallax Stella everywhere. My podcast is back, Snap Aim Podcast, where it talks about like any new FPS or third person shooter game that comes out. Like I talked about Helldivers this week. So yeah, and in terms of IGN work, helping a lot on Lightyear Frontier and also Call of Duty Warzone Mobile. So very excited for those to come out next week. So keep your eye open for that. Well, this was Podcast Unlocked 636. Thank you so much, Destin and Taylor, for joining me, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.